stories, and then we'll get into overvalued markets in Florida as far as real estate goes. President Zelensky visited Poland today, kind of building, reinforcing their alliance amid the Russian war. Violence breaking out in Jerusalem over Ramadan and Passover. There, you got both groups, three different groups, really, religious groups, and violence broke out because of it. Now there's concerns about escalating tensions. United States has flown a nuclear-capable B-52 over the Korean Peninsula, just amid North Korean tensions right there. And so those are your top three stories. It's Pensacola right now with Bobby Rossi on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. So out of the top 10 overvalued metro real estate markets, they looked at the top 100 markets, by the way, but this came out from Florida Atlantic University. It's called the Real Estate Initiative. It was created to measure the impacts across a range of issues in the real estate market. And so it's a collaboration between Florida Atlantic, but also Florida International University, Florida Gulf Coast University, and the University of Alabama. It's published monthly, and it uses publicly available data and online real estate websites like Zillow and other things like that. And in doing so, they looked at the top 100 markets recently, and they found out of the top 10 markets that they deemed to be overvalued, five of them are in Florida. In fact, six out of 11 top 11 markets are in Florida. The most overvalued market in the country, according to their initiative, is Atlanta, Georgia, but followed by Cape Coral. Lakeland comes in sixth, Palm Bay, seventh, Deltona, eighth, Tampa, ninth, Northport is 11th overall. And when we're talking about overvalued, for example, Cape Coral, they're saying that the prices are overvalued by 47.22%. Lakeland, Palm Bay, Deltona, Tampa, all right around 41% overvalued. Wow. And it's not just the real estate sales prices, even rental prices. Cape Coral, Fort Myers has the largest year-over-year rent increases in the nation, which is surprising because that's where the hurricane hit. But the rent prices increased almost 14% in February compared to a year ago. Oh, boy. The largest metro area, Miami, came in 27th overall with their homes valued at 33.8% over what they are worth. I got a couple of thoughts on this, but first, let's get traffic on the fives with Gracie Wolf.
Traffic update brought to you by Frontier Motors. I-10 and I-110 looking good. We still have some slow-moving traffic as you move out of Pensacola towards Pace on Highway 90. Expect some slowdowns there. 29 has cleared up as well as Pine Forest, Blue Angel, and Gulf Beach. And we just have a little bit of traffic as you're moving out of Gulf Breeze towards Tiger Point. Nothing too bad. As well as 98 leaving Mary Esther heading towards Navarre. Definitely still seeing some delays throughout Windhaven Beach, but it is improving. If you do see something else on the roads, give me call to 850-262-6111. Again, this traffic report brought to you by Frontier Motors. Frontier Motors is the only dealer that Dave Ramsey recommends in Pensacola, and Frontier Motors is located on Beverly Parkway. I'm Gracie Wolf on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
All right, so if you'd like to weigh in, text or call 850-437-1620. We're talking about the top overvalued markets in the country. A lot of them are here in Florida. Now, when it says overvalued, for example, Cape Coral is overvalued by 47%. Miami, 33.8%. Tampa, 41%. So this is what they say is it's valued, like the home prices are 38%, 33% over what they are worth. Now, that's where I want to stop and talk about, because what is that? What is the worth based on? This concept would go, okay, well, in that case, I'll just wait for the prices to come down 40% and then I'll buy something, like if you're in those markets, right? Or 30%. They didn't have Pensacola on the list. We're not in the top 100 market, but I'm betting they would say that Pensacola was over, would be overvalued. But what is the value of something? It's really, when it comes down to it, the value of something is what somebody is willing to pay. So you can't really say, well, all of Florida is so overvalued in price. No, it's not. For example, they use one example here. Cape Coral, for example. The average asking price is $371,000 now. And they said the expected sales price is around $253,000. So they're saying you should only be, so you're basically telling me that people who have their house listed on the market for $371,000 should only expect to get $250,000? That's not going to happen. People are going to be selling their house for around $370,000, even in Cape Coral. Now they're saying that 10 years ago, homes were listed at $140,000 and were actually selling $50,000 above asking price. I find this is hard to believe. I just find this very hard to believe that in places like Tampa, Miami, Cape Coral, Deltona, what's the other one? Palm Bay, the houses are going to sell for 40% less than what they're asking for. We're not seeing that here in the Pensacola area. We've talked to Christina Leavenworth a few times about it, that they're, that when it comes down to it, they have, you know, it's a little bit harder to sell a house, but it's not, you're still going to get what you're asking for. It's just going to be on the market a little bit longer, but it's still a, pretty much a balanced market. If something really is 40% overvalued, that's a buyer's market. That means a buyer's coming in and buying stuff at 40% less than what the asking price is. That's not happening anywhere in the country. So I'm going to have to disagree with their report. This is all I'm saying. And this comes from me, who's stated, I think we're on the cusp of a real estate crash. I think we're going to have a big real estate crash. So that's coming from me saying that. I just don't think that they're considered overvalued, because the value is actually what people are willing to pay for it. And we're seeing houses selling, flying off the shelves still. And in fact, what we're seeing, if there's any kind of problem, is that there's not enough listings. That might be one of the problems that's happening right now, if anything. Those are my thoughts. What are yours? Text 850-437-1620, 850-437-1620. Good point. Hey, Bobby. Imagine if a conservative president flew a nuclear-capable bomber over the Korean Peninsula. The news, talking heads would spin. Oh, yes, absolutely. Yep, you're right. Instead, it was just a, you know, it's a top three story, but I've even looked at it even on like Fox News. It's not even one of their stories. I got in top stories on some of these other outlets, The Guardian and some other ones. Text here, I think the values are based on the median income of that area listed. If most of the population can't afford the cost of housing, then the homes are overvalued. Oh, that's an interesting way to put it too. And we do know that Miami is considered the most overvalued, like most expensive market in the country. It's more than New York. It's more than San Francisco. And it's not because the home prices are cheap or more expensive in Miami. It's because where the home prices are based on the median income, it's the most, it's like the biggest disparity. It's bigger than San Francisco. It's bigger than LA, bigger than New York City and things like that. But when they're talking about overvalued though, they're not talking about that. They're not about, talking about unaffordability. They're talking about, they're saying that they believe that the, if a house is listed, say Tampa, where they said it's 41% overvalued. If a house is listed at $400,000, they're saying it's only going to sell at 40% less than that. And I'm like, I just don't see that happening. So I think they're doing it based on where they think it should sell. But what value really is what people are willing to pay for it. And so you're right. The people in that area may not be willing to pay for or not able to pay for it. Like we're seeing that here in Pensacola. A lot of locals who've been here for a long time, they can't afford a house at the current real estate prices. But you know what's happening? They're not overvalued because the houses are still selling. They're just selling to people from out of town. So I don't know. Maybe it needs to be overvalued based on the local market type of a thing. I don't know. Interesting one, though. All right. Coming up here next, we will have our top trending news with Steve Taylor over in the newsroom. Pensacola right now with Bobby Rossi on News Radio 92.3. Let's get traffic on the fives with Gracie Wolf.
Traffic update brought to you by Avalon HR. Nothing to slow you down on I-10 and I-110, and our slowdowns on Highway 90 have cleared up. We still have some slow traffic throughout Windhaven Beach getting towards Navarre. It'll clear up after Navarre Beach Causeway. If you see something else on the roads, you see an accident, have details, give me a call to the traffic line. 850-262-6111 is the number to call. And this traffic report, again, brought to you by Avalon HR. With so much going on, you need Avalon. It's employing made easy. I'm Gracie Wolf on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Now it's time for your top trending news.
Well, former President Trump wants Republicans to defund the DOJ and the FBI until they, quote, come to their senses. Trump's accusing Democrats of weaponizing law enforcement agencies to interfere with elections. Trump posted his comments on Truth Social today, one day after being formally charged with 34 criminal counts in a New York City courtroom. President Biden plans to mark the 25th anniversary of the Good Friday Agreement between Ireland and Northern Ireland. The president's going to Northern Ireland on Tuesday. He's going to spend the rest of the week there, and the peace deal, by the way, if you remember, was brokered by the U.S. and helped end decades of violence between pro-Ireland Catholics and pro-Britain Protestants. A customer of a Michigan market is facing charges after allegedly assaulting a clerk with a frozen fish. Police say the man went to the market on Sunday, but the fish counter was closed due to Ramadan. He began arguing with the clerk, picked up a 4-pound frozen fish, hit the worker in the head. That worker was taken to a local hospital for treatment. The man has been arraigned on aggravated assault and was given a $5,000 bond. The worker who was hit on the head was feeling pretty crappy. And those are your headlines.
There you go. It's Pet's Call right now. Bobby Rossi on News Radio 92.3. Coming up here next, a quick Cliff Notes version of the Florida legislative update for you next on News Radio 92.3. Pensacola right now with Bobby Rossi on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. Coming up here in about 2 minutes, we got your Fox News update, followed by your sports hit, give you a rundown of some of the baseball scores going on in Major League Baseball right now. And then after that, we'll also be talking about an update on the drought out west and kind of what's going on with that. So legislative update, Cliff Notes version here for you. So today, the legislature has introduced a bill. It's just going through committee right now that would end basically breed specific dog bans. So how some apartments and even some cities ban certain breeds like pit bulls, this would ban that. No banning of certain breeds. The Senate has advanced a bill. The Senate passed a bill that would protect gas stoves. You know, on the federal level, they're looking to ban gas stoves or severely regulate them. This would say no to that. Then a state park reservation bill. This is on the way to the governor. It was passed unanimously in both the House and the Senate. This is one that would give Florida residents a month head start to reserve reservations for state parks before it's opened up to basically the rest of the world and tourists and stuff. And then finally, once again, we've seen alimony reform come up. It's just starting to go through the committees. It's actually ready for the full Senate now to vote on. This would get rid of permanent alimony. Efforts in the past have either not made it through committee or, like last year, they were vetoed by the governor. And so this is one that, because right now our state is one of the only states where if you've been married for 10 years, you get permanent alimony. On News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. We'll get your sports hit here in a second, and we'll cover some of the. We'll give you an update on what's going on with the drought out west. First, Ronald McDonald House of Charities in Northwest Florida's Casual for Kids Day is April 28th, but you got to get your t-shirt ordered for your team by April 10th. So your business or group can show your support by wearing a Casual Kids t-shirt on just have a casual Friday on April 28th, but get your order in by Monday. So be sure to check that out. And once again, this is going to support the Ronald McDonald House Charities of Northwest Florida and their mission to love and support families of children with medical needs by giving them a place to call home. It's Pensacola right now with Bobby Rossi. Top three stories here for you, and then we'll get into your sports hit. President Zelensky has visited Poland, reinforcing that alliance. Ramadan and Passover has raised tensions as violence has broken out at Jerusalem's holy sites. And the United States has flown a nuclear-capable B-52 bomber amid North Korea tensions. They flew it right over the Korean Peninsula. It's been, and by the way, this is the second time in about 2 months that they've done that. All right, those are your top three stories.
Here's your sports hit.
All righty, your sports hit here. Where does this go? NBA is underway right now. Coming up any minute now, we should get the tip-off between the Chicago Bulls and the Milwaukee Bucks. We're less than a week away from the play-in tournament. But right now, the Brooklyn Nets are beating the Detroit Pistons 54-47. The Knicks are leading the Indiana Pacers 40-33. And the game's just tipped off between Washington, Atlanta, and Toronto against Boston. Tonight on ESPN, after Chicago and Milwaukee, will be the Lakers against the Clippers. Then NHL hockey is underway. The puck just dropped between Tampa Bay and the Rangers. That game is on TNT. When that game's over, Edmonton will play Anaheim on TNT. And baseball, the Chicago Cubs against the Cincinnati Reds game has been postponed. The Angels beat the Mariners. Cleveland Guardians beat the Oakland A's in extra innings. White Sox beat the Giants. Houston beat Detroit. The Rangers beat the Orioles. The Brewers beat the Mets. The Pirates beat the Red Sox. The Yankees beat the Phillies. And the teams that you might be interested in locally, Tampa Bay beat Washington 7-2. Miami beat the Twins 5-2. And the Atlanta Braves beat the St. Louis Cardinals 5-2. Then right now, the game just started between the Toronto Blue Jays and the Kansas City Royals. Two outs in the top of the first inning, still scoreless. Then in sports news, Austin Eckler, the running back for the Chicago for the Chargers, says the worst case scenario would be to return to the Chargers amid trade talks and contract talks. He is not happy with them at all and really wants to be traded. Speaking of traded, you know, the Ravens quarterback Lamar Jackson is looking to join another team as a free agent. Now the general manager of the Ravens says, yes, it is possible the Ravens will pick a quarterback in the first round of the draft later this month. NFL's Arizona Cardinals are going to have new uniforms in 2023. They're going to unveil those sometime before the draft at the end of the month. And John Elway is no longer working with the Broncos organization. His role with the Broncos has officially ended. And in baseball, Babe Ruth's bat broke a sale record. So there you go. It's Pensacola right now. Bobby Rossi on News Radio 92.3. Let's get traffic on the fives with Gracie Wolf.
No slowdowns to report. I-10 and I-110 looking good, as well as 29 and 90. Nothing to slow you down. If you do see something on the roads, just give me a call at 850-226-2611. I'm Gracie Wolf on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
All right. Got a story here about Warrington Middle School. Got to update you on in case you haven't heard it. So this whole drama with Warrington Middle Schools, Department of Education has basically gave them a cutoff date, right? You got to turn the school's grades around or we're going to close it. So basically, it is on track to be closed right now. And I think that's the default that people have to remember. The default is they're going to be closed. They've already like went past the deadline. They weren't able to turn the school around from a D grade. So the Florida Department of Education said, they're closed. Next, there will be no Warrington Middle School as of fall 2023. But to rescue the school, there's been attempts to try to turn it into a charter school. The only charter school organization that's really come forward is Charter Schools USA. And now Charter Schools USA, they missed their deadline to give a contract. about what they want to do. They finally introduced it. It was presented to the school board, and according to some of the school board members, it's a non-starter. So Charter Schools USA has said for $1 a year, they want full control over Warrenton Middle School and what to do with it. But Escambia County School District has to still maintain it and still front the costs for maintenance of the school. And I was talking about like utilities and all that stuff. And then in 4 years, they want to transition it into a K-12 choice school. And the school would be centered around workforce readiness. And so Superintendent Dr. Tim Smith is basically presented this contract and said he supports it because he feels like keeping the school open at all cost is worth it. But a lot of the school board members disagree because they're like, wait a minute. So for a buck, they basically are given a school. They're basically buying a school for a dollar that they get to run. And yet they're not even managing the maintenance. Others will be managing the maintenance for it. Yeah, that does seem like a pretty bad deal to me. But you got to remember, it might be this or close it. Now, there's a third option on the table. The third option apparently is to turn it into a special school, like a special purpose school, like a sixth grade only learning center. So it's not going to be a full school. It'll be something different than that. And it'll have to have a new name change because it can't be Warrenton Middle because it's going to be a specialized school. But they're saying doing that would create even bigger problems because you have to have it rezoned, and basically you have until the fall to figure out what you're going to do. Yeah. I mean, if I'm going to have to say anything at this point in time, I'm going to guess that this is Warrenton Middle School is going away. It's just like at this point, it's going away. I just don't see how they're going to accept this contract. It doesn't seem like a good deal. Plus, by the way, remember, they've already paid $15,000 a month to Charter School USA as part of their planning phase. So Charter Schools USA has already gotten a bunch of money from us, and now they're wanting to take over the school for $1 a year and still have this district to keep paying. I mean, they're just fleecing the school district. They know that they're desperate to keep it open, and so they're like, fine, you're desperate to keep it open, then we'll take it, we'll take what we can. I mean, like, is it worth that much to try to keep it open? I just shut it down for a year, and then, like, in a year later, try to reopen a new school, brand new school. happens to be on the same school property and all this other stuff. I don't know. This just seems like it does. It seems like they're getting fleeced to me. All right, it's Pensacola right now. Bobby Rossi on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Here is today's sign of the apocalypse.
This is it, the apocalypse.
So there's some new popular trend for dudes to get six-pack abs. What's the trend? It's not getting in shape. It's not eating right. It's not exercising. No. It is liposuction. Kind of. It's not even full liposuction. For you to get six-pack abs for liposuction, you still have to eat right, diet and exercise. Like, they might be able to liposuction it to a point, but at some point you've got to have the muscles there developed in order to be seen. And then they're not going to last very long if you just immediately start eating poorly again. No. This liposuction sculpts the fat to look like abs. That's right. Next time you're at the beach, like, dang, look at that person's abs. He's buff. It might just be sculpted fat. I don't want to tell you. Oh, my goodness, this is crazy. That's kind of funny, though. All right, it's Pensacola right now. Bobby Rossi on News Radio 92.3. By the way, quick update on the drought out west. Lake Mead, which we've reported many times before, that is significantly down. They've been finding bodies and stuff. They've been finding all this stuff because the water was so low. And they're basically saying there was no turnaround. It's just going to keep doing that. Well, surprisingly, Lake Mead's water level was 3 feet above its projected level. Now, they expected to refill a little bit because of snowpack and melting off and things like that. But the Colorado Rockies have had 158% higher than its average snow. And because of that, Lake Mead has gotten more water because of it. So that's good news. And then I saw this story. California has also been just getting dumped with snow. And so with that, California's reservoirs are at 98% full. It's the first time in years and years and years that they're nearly 100% full. And by the way, it doesn't look like they're done. I was reading a report the other day about how much snow California has gotten. And like Lake Tahoe area, like houses, roofs have been collapsing because of the weight of the snow. The roof has been collapsing because that's a crazy amount of, like, I can't imagine snow being that heavy. It's crazy. All right, Pensacola right now, Bobby Rossi on News Radio 92.3. Coming up here next, we're going to get a quick update from Steve Taylor over in the newsroom, and then I've got a couple of Easter-related stories for you next.
Running through the strange light, chasing all them green lights, throwing out the shade for a little bit of sunshine, hippie with them good vibes, pictures on my phone lights, everything is so fine, little bit of sunshine.
Yeah. Crazy lately, I'm confirming, trying to rob myself of some, and you just trying to get a word, and life is not fair. I've been working on my tunnel vision, trying to get a new prescription, taking swings and even missing, but I don't care. Just a little bit, like life just woo. I'm making more, just a little bit. Spin a little more, take a bit of it. Smile a little more, and I'm into it.
Pensacola right now with Bobby Rossi on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. Let's get traffic on the fives.
Traffic update brought to you by Anderson Subaru. I-10, I-110 looking good, as well as Highway 90. And Highway 98 has cleared up completely. That's going to be throughout Gulf Breeze, Tiger Point, and Navarre. See something else? Give me a call at 850-262-6111. Traffic report again brought to you by Anderson Subaru. The all-new 2023 Outback is now in stock. Your adventure begins here. I'm Gracie Wolf on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
All right, let's go over to Steve Taylor in the newsroom. Steve, what you got going on?
Well, another candidate's thrown his hat into the ring to run for president. Who, you ask? Well, it's Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Yeah, he's running for that office as a Democrat. No surprise there. 69-year-old's the son of former New York senator and assassinated presidential candidate Robert F. Kennedy, and the nephew of the late JFK. The environmental lawyer and anti-vax activist says his priority as president would be to address corruption within the state and corporate systems, which he says has shattered the middle class and led to ecological disaster. Motorists can expect gas prices to rise by 10 to 20 cents in the next few days. Oh boy. You see, OPEC has announced it's cutting oil production despite objections from the White House. The average price of gas in the U.S. right now is $3.52 a gallon. It looks like it's going to go up. Two suspects were accused of robbing a Chipotle restaurant in Ohio after they reportedly became upset because they wanted more cheese. The suspects cornered one of the Chipotle employees, ripped her hat off. A fight broke out as one of the suspects reportedly pulled a gun while the other suspect says, "Shoot him, shoot him." Witnesses reported the gun misfired, thankfully. The suspects then allegedly threw chairs, trash cans around while in the restaurant, then stole somebody's cell phone and left without getting any cheese. And those are your headlines.
Oh, wow. All right. Thank you very much. It's Pensacola right now, Bobby Rossi on News Radio 92.3. I've got a couple minutes left of the show here. I want to hit a couple of things. So the average American is going to spend about $192 on Easter this year. That would be an increase compared to previous years. The record was actually 2020 during the pandemic. We spent $21.7 billion total. This year, they're expecting $24 billion. Most common expenses are going to go to candy, of course, gifts, food, clothing, flowers, decorations, and greeting cards. The average consumer shelled out at least $150 on Easter for the past 6 years. So if it does come about that we spent $192. That'll be a record high. Most popular Easter Sunday activities include cooking a holiday meal, visiting family and friends, going to church, Easter egg hunts, and watching TV. So this is the most common activities. Egg prices are still up pretty high and bothering a lot of people. So they're figuring out, okay, what do we got to do for Easter? Potatoes USA is saying, hey, you know what? We got the solution for you. Instead of dyeing your eggs, dye some potatoes. And that's right. There's even those who are trying to, apparently you can use some sort of water-based food coloring and actually eat the potato afterwards still. And it will save you some money, just probably not a whole lot of money is what it comes down to. So there you go. All right. It's Pensacola right now. Bobby Rossi. Just real quick here. Matthew Banks has been indicted on racketeering charges, criminal charges for allegedly stealing $5 million from over 150 clients. This is that contractor here in Escambia County. If he ends up being guilty, he could do 95 years in prison. Sheesh Louise. I was not surprised by the millions of dollars, but I was surprised by the number of people. 150. That is a lot. You guys have a great night. Talk to you again tomorrow. Bye-bye.